Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm happy to be with you this morning and to worship. I appreciate your enthusiasm and your reverence, your determination to do God's will, to worship Him as He deserves to be. Encouraging to me. Hope it has been a day, everybody. I want to address something today that I think is important, and I also think it is difficult. It has to do with how we use the Bible. We all know the Bible is significant. It is from God. We are people of the book. We want to know it in our minds and do it in our lives. We read it, we study it, we memorize it, we preach it, we obey it. Am I right about this?
Yes.
When it comes to life's difficulties and problems, we assign the Bible an important role. We turn to it and we often rely on it. We rely on what it says to answer our questions and to address our problems. It's not unusual for someone to think that difficulties will be addressed by reading the Bible and praying. And I do not want to underestimate either of these activities. I want to make sure you understand that. But is this really the answer? We're reading the Bible and praying address our deepest needs. Then I think about our theme for this year, connections. Connection with God, with God's people, people needing God. We all know to some extent the Bible plays a part in these connections. And I'm asking us to be careful and thoughtful to understand what part the Bible really plays. Because you see, Jesus uncovered a significant problem in the religious leaders of his day. And it's recorded in John chapter 5, where I want to read from just now, and will be the text of our lesson this morning. John chapter 5, the Gospel of John, verse 39. Jesus said to the religious leaders, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life." The problem was their use of scripture. That's what I want us to talk about today. How can we use Scripture correctly? I want to look at their mistakes, and maybe we can learn not to make them in our own reading and study of Scripture. How can we use the Bible correctly? Let me get the setting before us by talking about God's Word and God's Word. You'll notice here that Jesus said about the Scriptures, "It is they that bear witness of me." The Scriptures bear witness to Jesus. He claimed to have divine witness. Because the Bible came from God, he is saying that the Scripture is from God. The Scripture confirms something about him. Well, let's see this in its context. In John chapter 5, the Jews were upset. They were upset because a healed man was carrying his bed, and it was the Sabbath day. They were upset because Jesus had healed a 38-year invalid on the Sabbath. And these objections stem from their understanding and use of Scripture. Jesus' answer to their objection was that the Father was behind what he was doing. He says God is doing his work, and I'm simply doing the work that God has given me to do. He says, "I'm doing the work of my Father," as a matter of fact. And that upset the Jews even more because he called God his Father. And he made himself out to be equal with God. So next, Jesus sees the need to defend himself as God's Son. And he explains this in terms of two things. In terms of giving life and executing judgment. These are divine prerogatives. These are divine activities. Notice chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. "As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. He has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." So these are the works of God. God gives life. God executes judgment. He has given them to his Son. And Jesus claims to be the Son of God. He knows this claim needs to be substantiated. So he does that by citing witnesses. that give testimony to who he is. He refers to the witness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said he was, would be a great one. But he said there are greater and more significant witnesses than John the Baptist. Jesus offers two. He gives the witness of works. The witness of words. Witness of works would be his miracles. Witness of words would be scripture. So notice what Jesus says in Matthew, in John chapter 5, verse 36. For the words that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. He says, in effect, look at what I do, and you can easily see that I have divine backing. I'm doing things that only God can do. Because essentially he said, I am God, I'm the Son of God. Look at my works, and that would be testimony to that fact. Then notice verse 37. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. Not by voice, not by vision, but in his word, the scriptures. The witness is there, but you're not seeing or understanding it. He said to these Jewish religious leaders, because you're not using the word the right way. Notice verse 39. He says the scriptures bear witness about me. The testimony of scripture is the testimony of God. But the Jews didn't see it. They missed what the scripture said about Jesus. So let's pause just a moment in our text and think about how Jesus viewed the scriptures. What did he think about the scriptures? He said the Jews were missing something in their view of scriptures. But what is it that he sees and follows that they're missing? Let's think about using scripture correctly. Jesus' view of scripture. He said that the scriptures bore witness to him. But what did Jesus think about these scriptures? Let me mention a few things. Toward the scriptures, you'll see that Jesus adopted a deep respect and a reverent submission to what the scripture says. He says, for example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 35, the scripture cannot be broken. But this scripture is going to be fulfilled. It cannot be broken because it's God's word. He said in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 18, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. And so he demonstrated this deep respect and reverent submission to scriptures. Number two, Jesus' view of scripture. He defined his role and work in light of the scriptures. He understood his mission in light of the Old Testament. He would explain himself as Daniel's son of man and Isaiah's suffering servant. He told his men, Luke chapter 18, verse 31, listen to what he said. He said, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. We're going to do what this book says to do. So he defines his role and work in light of Scripture. That's how he viewed the Bible, the Old Testament. And I would say third, that Jesus read the Scriptures and lived by them, and he thought others should do that. He was constantly running people back to the Scriptures. He would say, have you not read? Have you not read? Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 and 5. He's an example. There are many others. Have you not read? These are the things to be done. These are the roles that should be filled according to Scripture. Read and you will see. Now, I'll have to say that the Jews would agree with much of this. They studied the Scriptures. They read them. They believed they were the Word of God. But in all this, they were missing something. They were missing something significant in how they used the Scriptures. Now, let's return to our text and discover what it is that they were missing, so we won't make the same mistake. So let's think about the wrong view of Scripture. Notice Jesus' words in verse 39. You search the Scriptures. Of course, that was good. It was good then, it's good now. Search the Scriptures. Paul brings out that one of the great privileges of the Jews is that they had the oracles of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 2. The Scriptures are valuable and wonderful. We sang that this morning from Psalm 19. They're more to be desired than gold, than much fine gold, and they're sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. That's how wonderful and valuable they are. For the search of the scriptures was good and it was significant. Jesus doesn't criticize them for this. Their mistake is in what comes next. Notice carefully. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Jesus' issue with the Jewish leaders was not with the words you search, but in the words you think. He does not criticize them for searching the scriptures, but because they thought that the search was an end in itself. There it is. That's a key. They thought the search was an end in itself. That searching and knowing the scriptures would yield eternal life. They misunderstood the God-intended function of scripture was to point beyond the words on the page to Jesus the Savior, the Son of God. You see, they were engrossed in words. They were engrossed in words, but they missed the truth that the words conveyed. They were all about meanings, but they missed the message that those meanings would point to. They made Bible study an end in itself. And Jesus said they were wrong about this. Think about a prescription from the doctor. You go to the doctor, and the doctor finds what's wrong with you. So he gives you a prescription. Prescribe the medicine. What does he or she intend for you to do with that? Are you to take that prescription home and read it, study it, memorize it? Is that what the doctor intends? Does he intend for you to take that prescription home and frame it and hang it on your wall and admire it? Or does he intend for you to take that prescription and tear it up into little pieces and take one 3 times a day with your meal? Now, we all know that's crazy. The prescription itself will not cure us. The purpose of the prescription is to direct us to the pharmacy, or the pharmacy we will get medicine. And the medicine will address the sickness that we have. So the scripture is like this. It directs us to the only medicine that can give us life to sin sick souls. It's not the words on the page. It's the person that the scriptures are talking about. So that brings us to the right use of scripture. What could the Jews do? What should they have done? Well, Jesus answers this question. Notice verse 40. It is these that bear witness about me. This word bears witness. It bears witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Instead of being an end in itself, scripture was a means to the end of finding Jesus and having the life he gives. I want to say that again. Instead of being an end in itself, scripture is a means of finding Jesus and having the life that he alone gives. The purpose of the Gospel of John, for example, John tells us in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And believing you might have what? Life. I have life in his name. So Jesus saw himself in the scriptures. After his resurrection, now he was walking with those two fellows going to Emmaus. He was incognito. They didn't understand. Recognize who he was. According to Luke chapter 24, verse 47, he began with Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then in this same chapter, Luke 24 and verse 44, Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he explained to them that everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalm must be fulfilled. Let me flesh that out just a little. Jesus is the centerpiece of the Old Testament. The promises through Abraham, Moses, the prophets, and others all find their fulfillment in Jesus. The law unbending demands, was our guardian until Christ came, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3. It held us captive until he set us free. Then we have the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. And that keeps reminding us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, pointing us to the one who will shed his blood, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. The kings foreshadowed the Messiah's perfect reign of righteousness and peace. And the prophecies focused on the coming one who would sit on the throne of David and give salvation to Israel and the world. So, listen to this little paragraph. Jesus is the seed of woman who would bruise Satan's head, the descendant of Abraham through whom all families of the earth will be blessed, the star that would come forth out of Jacob, and the scepter that would arise out of Israel. He is preached after the order of Melchizedek, the king who sits on David's throne, the Lord's servant who would suffer and die for people's sins, the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, the one who would be given dominion, glory, and kingdom in all peoples, nations, and languages, will serve him forever. All this is in the scriptures. All this pointing to Jesus and leading people to him. The Jews missed it. They searched and searched to get things just right. Oh, they wanted to get the washing of hands just right. They wanted to get no work on the Sabbath day just right. They wanted to get tithing their seed just right. They wanted to get everything just right, but they missed the scripture's main character, and they missed its centerpiece. He was right there among them, and they didn't see him. And worse, they didn't go to him and have the life that he offered. You see, they were both blind and stubborn. Look at Jesus' words. He says, you think that in the scriptures you will find eternal life, but you're wrong. Eternal life is in a person. It's not in a book. It's in Jesus. It's not just in the words of the Bible. So you're blind to what the Bible really is saying. Not only that, you're stubborn. You refuse to come to me. It's all right there in front of you, he said. And I'm right here in front of you with witnesses. But you refuse to come to me that you might have life. Jesus might say something like this. You're over there arguing about whether a man should carry this bed or not. You're arguing whether I should do good on the Sabbath day. You're arguing about those things. You've been out of shape about those. And you're refusing to go with me and have life that you say you want. So they had scriptures and read scriptures, respecting the scriptures. Something was terribly wrong in their use of scriptures. We must think carefully that we don't make that same mistake. That's what I want us to get to today. That's why I said this is an important one. It's a difficult one because we're people of the book. We have high regard for it. Let's make sure that that book is doing in us and with us what God intends. So how can we avoid the Jews' mistake? What's our take on today? What's our application? Let me suggest a few things. Number one. Studying and applying scripture, we must look beyond the rules to the relationships. The Bible is not merely a rule book. Well, it has rules and regulations. It's full of those. It has instructions, commandments, imperatives. But we're not simply to follow all the rules. Jesus says the scriptures bear witness to me that we might come to him. Scripture is not simply to lead us to obedience, but it's to lead us to knowing and loving and following Jesus. So we have to look beyond rules to relationships. What are these rules about? Why do we have them? How do they function? It has to do with knowing, loving, and following Jesus. So we must look beyond the rules to relationships. Number two, we must always go to the heart of the matter. Put the heart of the matter in quotation marks. The ideal question is what Scripture says about, what Scripture says to our hearts. You know the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and soul and mind. You shall have these words on your heart and teach them to your children. Jesus' great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, begins with a reference to one who is poor in spirit and pure in heart. Paul poured out his thanks in Romans chapter 6. He said, "You were once slaves of sin, and become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." The heart of the matter, the heart of the matter is that we give our hearts to God. We just don't do what he says. But we love him. We live for him. Because we've given our hearts to him. So I'm saying our take home is that we must always go to the heart of the matter. And find out where our hearts are. Relationship with God. And number three, we must always ask and respect what Scripture says about God, about Father, Son, and Spirit. The Scripture is all about God. It is His revelation, His disclosure, and He reveals Himself. He does not just give us information that might be interesting to us. He does not just give us instructions. He gives us himself. Jesus left the world and sent the Spirit to his men. John 15, verse 26. He said the Spirit would proceed from the Father and bear witness about the Son. There it is. The Spirit came from the Father and bear witness about the Son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither is into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him." The Spirit has revealed it. The Spirit knows the thoughts of God, and the deep things of God, the depths of God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. So God has revealed himself. We must look for God in Scripture. We must always look for God in Scripture. So we will live within his grace. So we will be saved by his blood. So we will be indwelt by his Spirit. I always need to ask the question, what is this passage? What is this book? What is this paragraph? What is this sentence saying about God? And then fourth, our take home is this. We must allow Scripture to do its thing. And that is to bring us to Jesus. We must allow the Scripture to do its thing. What God intended for it to do. So we turn to the New Testament, Catholic Gospels. They tell us about the words and works of Jesus. But more than that, they tell us about the death and resurrection of Jesus. We let those Gospels speak to us and move us and draw us to him and excite us about following him. But we turn to the book of Acts. The Acts tells us about a Spirit-directed message. It goes into the world. The message is all about Jesus. And not only is it a Spirit-directed message, but those who believe the message are Spirit-indwelt people. They're Christians. They're followers of Jesus. The book of Acts excites us about the gospel moving into people's hearts and homes, changing their lives, bringing them to God. In the letters give instruction, interpretation, encouragement about following Jesus. What does it mean? How does it look in everyday life, in relationships, in churches, in families? What is the way of Jesus? That's what the letters define for us. In the book of Revelation, is a book that presents the Lamb who is worthy. Sits on the throne of God, and through whom we have the victory. It tells us again and again that Jesus wins. So please don't stop just with Bible searching and Bible study. Let these things do their thing in your heart, in your life. Bring you to Jesus, the Savior. What the Bible does, the wonderful thing the Bible does, we let it. We humbly listen to it. We excitedly read it. We have deep respect for it. What the Bible does, to bring us to Jesus, to know Him, to love Him, to join Him, to stay with Him, to come back to Him, to be with Him all the way to the end. Oh, what a wonderful thing the Bible does. We're going to use it properly. Let the Bible do its thing in our hearts and lives. Important message. Difficult. You have to kind of stop and think about that one, don't you? Remember what Jesus said. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's these that bear witness of me, and you don't come to me that you have so you can have life. Don't make that mistake. Allow Scripture to do its thing to bring you to Jesus. Hey, if we can help you with that this morning, we want to do that. You need to come and follow Jesus. You need to join with Him, be baptized with Him. You need to come back to Him. Or I suspect with most of us, we just need to make a commitment. I'm going to stay with Him all the way to the end. That's where I need to be. We can help you this morning. Come to Jesus. Let me know. Always stand and sing.